Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On your mark, get set, go and tell. You are in a race like no other. It is a race of endurance because it lasts for your entire life. And while it is still going on, you must also take time to condition yourself for continuing to compete. You receive instruction regarding how to persist weekend by weekend. On your mark, get set, go and tell. When you hear these words, I hope that it increases the adrenaline in your bodies. I hope it's like pressing the accelerator on a car that it gets the engine making the proper revolutions to keep it going at a steady pace. But even racing vehicles need to pull over once in a while and take a pit stop. They need to be kept in pristine condition so that they can continue through whatever marathon or race they're competing. So go and tell what? The gospel, the good news that has been delivered to you. Your sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yet what good is deliverance if you are not in bondage? It was from the slavery of sin that you have been set free in Christ. The condemnation of the sins you committed and the good that you omitted to do have been forgiven in Christ. It doesn't matter what you have done or how often you have done it. You have been forgiven in Christ. With your sins forgiven, who will go and tell but you? Tighten your shoelaces and don your sports clothing. We have been called to run together in Christ. You and me, along with every other believer, from here to Russia, from Russia to Australia, from Australia to Brazil, from Brazil to here and everywhere else. You and me and they have been called to run together in Christ. We have been called to compete for a medal, but not a medal of silver or gold or even titanium, the one that lasts forever. But we cannot get it if we do not strive. Just pause long enough to hear what Paul has to say to the Corinthians in our epistle text for this morning. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that he was called to preach the gospel, yet he acknowledges that should he even desire not to preach, he still had a responsibility to do it. He had the necessity to do it. He wrote, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship." To better understand what Paul wrote, we must first understand what a steward is. According to the Christian Encyclopedia at lcms.org, that is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod website, a steward is the term used in Luke chapter 16, verses 2 to 4, in the parable of the unjust steward. A steward is a servant entrusted with administration of his master's property and interests. The Bible uses the term in a secular sense, but elevates it to a fruit of faith, permeating it with spiritual meaning and implication for pastors and Christians in general. As I mentioned last week, pastors have certain vocational responsibilities and benefits that lay people do not, such as proclaiming the forgiveness of sins, the absolution publicly, and administration of the sacraments. But, as we just heard from the LCMS website, there is spiritual implication and meaning for each of you as well. You have also been entrusted with certain gifts, talents, treasures, and abilities for doing our master's work. So what is that work? To perform your vocations and to serve God as you are able. This includes telling others the gospel. Where do we find this? Well, the end of the section on the LCMS website describing what stewardship is, it has as a reference 1 Peter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace." It is in that very same letter earlier that Paul says that you are a royal priesthood. Yes, you are a royal priesthood. That is, we have been called together to share God's good news, His gospel, with those around us. Not just the pastor, not just you, but we. we have been called together to run this race in Christ. Now, as we heard last week, there are times and places where we might give up our rights to advance the gospel. Paul did this in many and various ways in his ministry. To the Jews, he became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those who were weak, he became as one who was weak to win the weak. And so on. He became all things to all people that by all means he might save some. You've had a week now. How are you doing at putting aside your freedoms for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of winning others to Christianity? What are you willing to give up to bring others to the faith? Even though you might have the freedom to listen to whatever kind of music you may desire, if a brother or sister does not think that you should listen to music with profanity, are you willing to give it up? Or say next week there is a visitor to church and he or she sits in your particular pew. Are you willing to give up your pew for that person? Now, granted, if you ask that person to move, they may still stick around for the service, although they may not. But if they would stick around for the service, would that asking them to go and sit in another pew still be obscuring the gospel in their mind? We want them to hear the gospel without obstruction. What about those of you who are mature in the faith? Have you considered perhaps being a mentor for somebody that's new to the faith? Or what about those of you who are married? I know that there are at least 5 couples this year that are going to be married. Are you willing to perhaps take one of those couples under your wing and be mentors to them? It takes time of yours and freedom of yours to be able to do these kind of things, but we are called to run together in Christ. It requires knowing the other half of that definition of stewardship. Christian stewardship acknowledges that God owns all, that we belong to Him by virtue of creation, preservation, redemption, and sanctification, and are to glorify Him in all things. That all our talents and endowments are temporarily in our charge, and that we must render account to God. How often do you pause to remember that? The things that you own, the clothes that you wear, the car that you drive, the job that you have, the possessions that you have, none of it is yours. It is all a trust to you from God. How often do you stop and think of that? We give thee but thine own, whatever the gifts may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. These are not just verses to a hymn, they are truth. And we are in a race. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run, that you may obtain it. Discipline yourself so that having run this far, you will not be disqualified at the end. The definition of stewardship also says that at the end, that the true motivation of Christian stewardship is supplied by the gospel, not by the law. This morning you confessed your sins at the beginning of this service, and you were absolved by God's very word, so that you were freed from the condemnation those sins rightly deserve. You have been made free by Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary, the very reason for which God sent Jesus to this world, so that you might be forgiven. By Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary, your sins have been absolved. You have been freed to serve. I remember when I was in college, I would go to Concordia Lutheran Church in Springfield, which wasn't too far of a drive from the University of Illinois where I was attending college. And as I would go there on Sunday mornings, I would confess my sins at the beginning of the service, and I would have them absolved. I would hear the word from the pulpit of the pastor. I would receive the benefits of the sacrament. And on the way out, the church had an interesting design. It was an A-frame, and to the side of that A-frame was the school that they had. And so as I was passing the school, there were support beams going along that school. And on one of those support beams, it had a sign, and the sign said, "You are now entering the mission field." You might also recall Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah goes to the throne room of God, and he realizes that he is the sinner, and he confesses his sins, and he is absolved with that coal and the tongs. And then what does God say? God says, "Who can I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. I run the race that I have been freed to run, and you run with me. We run together in Christ. On your mark, get set, go and tell. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen."